Good morning and welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson and I will be your servant today. It is a great day to be in the house of the Lord, and I welcome all of you to this service of worship where we in spirit and in truth praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why we are here. Thank you so much. I do want to mention to you, if you were not on the, if you haven't seen the paper or the one call, that Cora Ordonez passed away this week on Monday in the hospice program. And Lewis has been in the hospital, Reverend Ordonez has been in the hospital, but he was discharged, and the service for her will be on Friday at 11. Friday at 11 will be her service here in the sanctuary. There will be a viewing on Thursday night from 5 to 7 at Jacksonville Memory Gardens across the street, and the service will be the next day of Friday at 11. And I know that you want to come and support Lewis in this time of saying goodbye to Cora. So I thank you for that. Didn't we have a great weekend last weekend? It was just so wonderful to celebrate our anniversary. Just so uplifting and full of praise. I have to thank so many people that made that happen, and I know I wouldn't be able to thank all of them. We had some wonderful music and worship, thanks to all our musicians and special guests. And I want to thank Sue Michael as chairperson of the anniversary committee, because she had to do it all. She had to make sure it all worked out, and I think it did. We can feel very, very glad and proud for our 50 years and look forward to many more years to come in ministry. The ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's continue our worship with greeting one another with the peace of Christ. Peace be with you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, welcome everyone who came out on this brisk, beautiful day. I think the sun is starting to shine. Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. We are so happy that each and every one of you are here this morning. And my name is Robin Stowers, and I will be your liturgist for the month of February and your servant anytime, day or night.
Amen.
Okay. Well, yes, and I just want to say a little something about the anniversary weekend. For me, it was like a little mini revival that happened right down here in my heart. And I just give God all the honor and glory for that experience last weekend. And I think the fire has been lit, and I think it's going to continue. So I just wanted to say that. Okay, well, let's get right to it. Please, just a gentle reminder, if you're a guest, we have welcome cards, and if you have a prayer need or a praise that you would like to put on paper, please do so, and of course, they all go into the offering plate. And also, don't forget your salty service cards, okay? Thank you very much. Newsletters are out if you haven't gotten yours. W.E. Cherry is the elementary school on the east side of Blanding that we sponsor. And for the month of February, they need computer paper, tissues, hand sanitizer, and construction paper. And we should have a box right in the narthex there. And we'd like to see that filled up so that we can take our donations to them. Okay. Could I please have one of the ushers hold up a manna bag? If you have not picked up your manna bags, oh, okay. These are wonderful, wonderful bags with stuff in them. And I tell you, one day last week, I came out of where I work, and I was in the parking lot, and I had a lady come up to me asking for money, and I didn't have any on me at the time. And I thought to myself, if I'd have had a manna bag, I could have given that to her. So I want a couple of them to put in my car so that anytime we are approached, it's a great way to give them something, you know, to help and to show the love of Jesus. So please, they're in the back. If you haven't gotten any, please pick those up. Guess what? This week starts Lent. Lent starts on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, which is Wednesday, February 10th. Our sanctuary will be open from 6 to 7:30. Now, you can come anytime during those hours from 6 to 7:30 for meditation, use of the altar rail, and to have the imposition of the ashes put on. So all are welcome. I'm sure it's out on our sign out front. So we hope that many of you will come through and just talk to God about the next 40 days, what he's got in store for us as individuals and also for this church. Okay, I would like to also add our pastor is doing a Bible study for Lent. And that Bible study is called The Way, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus. And, you know, that's what we're all called to do, is to walk in his footsteps and to show that love. So please sign up in the back. Is that what that is? Yep, there it is. Look, turn around. There's a board back there that you can sign up right there. Thank you, Bill. And so it starts, is that a... It's going to be on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 in the fellowship hall. In the fellowship hall. And so those, nope. We'll find a place and everybody in the choir can go if you can get here at 6. Yay! Well, that's a wonderful thing. And God bless you, Pastor Esther, for doing that for us. So please sign up. I do have some sad news. You know, Valentine's is next Sunday. That's good news. But our sad news is our dinner that we had scheduled for Friday night, this Friday night, the 12th, has been canceled due to extenuating circumstances. Thank you. So please, I guess you're on your own Friday night for dinner. But you can save your money and take your loved one out on Sunday. Okay. Anybody looking for a job? Look at that. Help wanted. Did that get your attention? Mark, you're looking for a job? Well, this is a help wanted ad, position available for a communion steward. Now, if you don't know what a communion steward is, it's just the person who fixes our juice and bread at the first service. You know, we have communion every Sunday at the first service at 8:15. At the 11 o'clock service, we just do it the first Sunday of the month. But we are in need of a communion steward, male or female, 8:15 service. No experience necessary, and you don't even need a reference. So please, you know, if God is tugging on your heart to serve, give that some prayer and some thought, okay? And you can let Connie, Lori, or myself know, because we are the chair people of the worship committee. And the worship committee takes care of what goes on in our sanctuary so that we can worship together. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Okay. Do we have any other announcements? Yes, we do. Thursday night, what time?
Set the time right now from 7 to 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Who shows up, we're going to do versatile and everything. So, but anyway, it's going to be another opportunity for...
Another opportunity for this church to get a little deeper. You know, sometimes God calls us to a higher level. He doesn't want to see us stay in that comfortable spot that we're at. So, amen. Thank you very much. Okay. Betty?
Well, the prayer warrior told me to please tell you that the door is unlocked every Monday night at 7 o'clock, and we really need prayer warriors. We're down to three of us. We used to have 9, 10, 12. It was wonderful. But some people don't have it made anymore, and we're trying to work on getting people to show.
Amen. Thank you, Betty. Yes, ma'am. Yay. Well, what fun. It seems like God provided everything you needed on Saturday for the Frozen party. Amen. Okay. Very good. If you didn't know, that's Barbara Hosey. I'm sorry. And she is our chairperson for children's ministry, another very vital, important ministry in our church. Okay. Anything else? Youth, Super Bowl Sunday? Everybody brought their canned goods? All right. Very good. Very good. Yes, thank you. Thank you to Fran and all the wonderful work that he does with our youth. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Friendship Club this Thursday. Yes, take your bulletins. You know, you're supposed to be capable of reading the back of your bulletin, wherever the back is. Yes, yes. Friendship Club, 12 o'clock. Yum, yum. Okay. Bring a box of candy. Okay, very good. All right, let us begin with our opening words, if you'll get those out of your bulletin, please. Turn our thoughts away from the busyness of the world.
Turn
our hearts away from the desires of this world. Turn our whole selves away from ways of this world.
Turn us to love, compassion, and justice, O Christ.
In this time of worship, may we be one in spirit, mind, and body, worshiping Christ Jesus, who calls us to love. Amen.
I have one more announcement for Miss Marlene and Miss Hosey and Miss Porterfield. There's no choir practice Wednesday night. Just in case y'all show up, you know. Our first song for today is Shine, Jesus, Shine. If you'd stand, should be on our screen.
Thank you. Children? Sarah's coming. All right. You know, I'm having a little trouble seeing you. This is Bradley, right? Okay, that's John. This is Sarah. And y'all out there, you look a little dim and blurry to me. I don't know what the matter is. What? I don't have my glasses on? Uh-oh, let me see what difference that makes. Okay. Wow. Now I can see you. Wow. Look at you all out there. My goodness. Oh, wow. Hi. It really makes a difference to put my glasses on. I can see clearly now. And that's one of the things that our scripture is talking about today. Jesus goes up on a mountain to pray, and he takes some of his disciples with him. And while they were up there, Jesus turns bright light all over, not just his face, but also his clothing, and he just turned into light itself. And the disciples could see Jesus clearly. So everything about the transfiguration, that's a big long word that just means Jesus was changed into light, is meant to tell us who Jesus is. He was up on the mountain, he prayed, and then miraculously, Moses and Elijah appeared with him, and they had a conversation with Jesus, and they were talking about what Jesus was and was going to. Who knows what's going to happen in these next few weeks? What's going to happen in the season of Lent? That's a hard question. You may not know that. Bradley? Well, we're preparing first. In order to get to his coming at Easter, we have to go through what? We have to go through Lent, but Lent is a journey toward the cross of Jesus. That has to happen before Easter can take place. And that's what the Transfiguration shows it all clearly to us, that this was, Jesus was meant to do this. And the voice came from the cloud saying to all his disciples to listen to him. But not only can we see Jesus clearly, but Jesus sees us clearly and loves us. And when Jesus loves us, we're the ones who are changed inside. Our hearts are changed. And we live differently because we see Jesus clearly, and Jesus loves us, and so we're the ones who are changed. And let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. We thank you for your light that shines, not only in our hearts, but across the whole world. Transfigure our lives, dear God, with your presence and your love and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's have some candy. You're welcome. Find something. Good. We continue in our worship this morning with the presentation of our tithes and offerings. If the ushers would please come forward. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you shine your light into our hearts, and you warm us with your Spirit. Help us this Lent to live a holy Lent where we follow you toward the cross. Use us, dear Lord, and these gifts for furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Christ is my redeemer.
would turn to page 12 in your hymnals, we will join in the confession and pardon following the invitation. As we prepare in this service of worship to receive the Lord's gifts through Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is found in Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James. They went up onto the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came over and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things that they had seen. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. I was officiating at a funeral a while back now, and I was working with this new funeral home director. We hadn't done many funerals together, and this was the first time we'd done the funeral of a veteran. Following the service, we traveled to the cemetery, and of course the prayers and words of committal were spoken by me at the graveside. And then the honor guard shared their piece. We had taps were played and the guns saluted. And as you all know, the two men in uniform removed the flag that had draped the coffin, and they began to fold it before placing it in the hands of the family. And it always moves me to bear witness to the formality of this ritual. and to consider the symbolism behind it. What was different, though, this time that as the flag was being folded, the funeral director got up and began to speak. He offered an explanation of what we were witnessing, and I just wanted to kick him because there are times for words and there are times for silence, and this just seemed to me to be a time for silence. But that's not usually the case, is it? We are frequently uncomfortable with silence. We don't stand silent before anything, not even when we encounter the most sacred. Not even when words are unnecessary. We are uncomfortable with silence. For me, I have the same experience. When it's too quiet, my mind has too much room to think, and I start worrying. I wonder if everybody has remembered their part, or what's going to happen next, or I grow anxious to fill the silence with my own voice. Silence makes us uncomfortable. And so often we are prone to fill our days with noise. This year, as you heard us say at the beginning of the service, we're going to do something a little different for Ash Wednesday. Several years ago now, I developed a service for the imposition of ashes that utilizes silence. There's nothing at all spoken from up here. Not one single thing is spoken from up here. It will be a time of self-directed scripture, prayer, and meditation. The sanctuary will be open from 6 o'clock to 7:30, and you're free to come anytime during those hours and stay for as long or as little as you wish. You may choose to reflect silently on Lent, and you may use the worship booklet, which will be given to you at the start of the service. There will be pictures on the screen, as well as soft chanting music in the background to help guide your meditation, or you may simply pray on your own during this time. And then when you are ready, you move forward to the front, and I will be here to meet you. I will keep my eyes peeled for those who are ready for the imposition of ashes, and you don't have to say a word. Just come up to the front, and I will put the ashes on your forehead. There's also going to be a white cross in the center where we will place our thumb in the ashes so that we get ashes on our thumb and put a thumbprint on the white cross, symbolizing Christ's willingness to take on our brokenness. And that cross will be up there during the whole season of Lent. As a reminder of what Christ is getting ready to face when he makes it to Jerusalem. All of this will be spelled out for you on Wednesday when you come in the worship bulletin, and I promise you it will be a beautiful time of prayer and meditation for Lent. The important thing to know is that this discipline of practicing silence so that we can hear God's voice can be learned. And when we encounter the living God, sometimes all we have left is silence in response. I usually try to give you a few minutes of silence on a Sunday morning when we go to God in prayer. And I don't know if that has become a habit for you or not in your prayer time, to sort of center yourself and quiet your thoughts so that the voice of God, our Creator, can enter into your life. For Peter, James, and John, they bore witness to the Transfiguration. And their response to these events, in the end, if you noticed, is simply silence. They kept quiet about these things. Not that Peter hadn't been trying to fill the space with the sound of his own voice just moments earlier. Still, at the end of the account before us, once all is said and done, all the disciples have to offer is silence. There are simply no words that would be adequate, no explanation that would capture what has just happened before their eyes. It's clear that all they can do is hold in silence what they have just seen and heard. And I want to share with you briefly, I want you to stand still and notice with me certain elements of this reading. It says that Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and together they climbed the mountain. And the mountain is generally, in the biblical scriptures we have for us, the mountain is where an encounter with God takes place. We also know that the scripture says he was praying at the time, and that in the midst of the praying, he was transformed in front of them and became light itself. Now, he was miraculously joined, the scripture says, by Elijah and Moses, and they're in a conversation together about what's going to happen to Jesus when he gets to Jerusalem. That he will suffer and die there. But we are also led to know that Jesus is the fulfillment of all that has gone before. That Peter, as Peter is prone to do, wants to do something to capture the moment and to make it possible to stay there in this glorious light. He wants to keep that moment forever and ever by building these booths and saying, this way we can have it, this encounter with God, we can keep it permanent. Also, the disciples experienced fear as the cloud descended upon them and God's voice began to speak. And of course, fear is an appropriate response to the voice of God. Notice that his voice is heard from the cloud. It's similar to what is said at Jesus' baptism, but this time the words are not just meant for Jesus himself. They are also meant for the disciples, for Peter, James, and John, and for us, because this time God says, listen to Jesus. And I think the question that I have is, how can we listen? How can we really hear if we are not first silent? If we are not quiet enough to take in what's being offered to us? So silence can make you and make me uncomfortable at times. But if I am not silent, if we are not silent, how will we ever hear the voice of God? Can we be simply silent in the face of the wonder of what is before us, seeing Jesus clearly, the beloved of God, God himself? And then, can we hear the voice of God speaking to us, to you, and to me? I pray that it may be so for us today and for our church. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
There probably wasn't a lot of silence when Jesus gathered with his friends. They thought it was just another meal, perhaps, on that Last Supper. They were probably joking and enjoying themselves, not really knowing what Jesus was about to face, until he took a piece of the bread. And perhaps it got hushed quickly when he broke the bread. And said, "These pieces, these broken pieces, are my body, which is broken for you." And this cup is not just for drinking, it's the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink and eat this, he says, in remembrance of me. These are God's gifts to us, offered to us freely. Come as you are instructed. The choir will ascend first to kneel and to receive God's good gifts. Will you come to the table of the Lord?
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 384, we'll sing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, verses 1, 2, and 4. Miss Penny will sing number 3 by herself.
Very rewarding. At least the last three churches that I did this in, it was one of the favorite services of the year because you get to worship in the way you feel comfortable most.
Amen.
Well, let us receive now the benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each of you. Until we meet again, go in his peace.
Amen. Amen.